Okay, boys, so we're beginning a brand new perek, the final perek in Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samach. Starting at the very top, the Mishnah begins, Get Pashut, Eidav Mitoichoi, Mikusher, Eidav Me'achoyrov. Although we normally associate the word get with a get isha, a get that one gives Chas V'Shalom to divorce one's wife, Rishbam immediately tells us that's not necessarily the case. Really, the word get is a word that refers to all types of documents, all types of shtarais. The Mishnah, for instance, in Masechtas Bava Kama refers to a get choiv she'ein bo yachrayis. So therefore, the word get is really a generic term. We generally use it when we're referring to a get isha, but it could be just as well as a get for a halva, and a get for a mechira, get for a matana.
So what would be the difference between a get and shtar?
There's no difference except in the spelling, that this is two letters and these are three letters.
One's Hebrew, one is Aramaic.
I don't know exactly
what it says. They call it get, all the shtar.
Exactly, that's where I took it from. I'm not mechabish anything. So in fact, let's take a quick look at the first Rishbam, get poshut, shtar poshut, ke'in shalonu. Poshut shtar is simple, normal shtar like we have. She'enoi tofur u'mekusher kelekamon. It's not that fancy schmancy get mekusher that we're going to speak about shortly. A poshut get, regular. V'chol shtar is Korean get. Any shtar can be called a get. Ke'namrin bi'alma. The get choiv, she'en boyachrayis. Get choiv obviously not referring to a husband and wife. We're talking about a shtar. Nevertheless, it has a term get. Ubein begitten, ubein b'shtar shtaris, mairi. Our mishnah is in fact not a mesechtas gitten dik perek, because otherwise, why would it be here? It should be mesechtas gitten. Because we're talking about commercial shtaris generally. Kedemrin b'gemar, like we'll see in the Gemara in the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to use the expression, kedesh le'tachloik, Ben gitten l'shtar, so that we shouldn't make any differentiations between a get isha and a regular shtar. They all have the same halacha vis-a-vis our mishnah. So now that we have that out of the way in terms of the background, what is the mishnah referring to a get poshut and a get mekushar? So we're going to see metzushim shortly in the Rishbam, both here on the Amud Aleph as well as the Amud Beis, that there were certain places, particularly where they had koyhanim, where they made a very elaborate form of get. What was the elaborate form of get? That is, when they would write the get, they would skip lines. They would write one line of the get, skip a line, write another line of get, skip a line, and another line of the get and skip a line. And in that space where they skipped the line, they would go and fold over the written part. Take, for instance, line one had writing on it, line two was empty, they folded over line one over file over line two, and then a seamstress would come, or a tailor, or whatever, and would go and sew up and make a kefil. Kefil means a fold. And they would do this in every single get with at a minimum of three folds. In other words, the first six lines were one line written, second line empty, third line written, fourth line blank, fifth line written, sixth line empty. After that, they had what's called the tofes. Back in Masechtas Gittin, we learned more about this. We have the toref and the tofes. Toref is the important terms of the shtar, and the tofes are what they call the Blumberg form, the boilerplate of the shtar. In fact, in I don't know today, but years ago, used to have stationery stores, and you were able to go and buy already wills and
leases
and things like that.
They still have on 72nd in Columbus. There's still such a store.
Okay, you don't need the store anymore. Everything is online nowadays, and all you have to do is just fill in the blanks with your name and the amount and the address or whatever key ingredients you want to write into the shtar, and all the rest is just boilerplate. Boilerplate sometimes goes on for pages and pages and pages, and the key is just the first few lines. Okay, we're going to learn more about this as we go through the Mishnah and the Gemara. Now, why did anybody write such a fancy get mekusher, where there were at least three folds, right? Line one folded over line two, and you stitch it up. Line three over line four, stitch it up. Line five over line six, and you stitch it up. Well, what was the purpose of all this? We wanted to stall. Very good. For which class of people did we want a stole?
The Kohanim, because they can't remarry if they change their mind.
Okay. So the Kohanim, unfortunately, had two problems, if you will. Number one, and if there are no Kohanim here, so we don't have to worry, but when Rabbi Cohen's Chana Bracha was here, we'd have to be concerned. We use very delicate language. Rishbam says that among the many Kohanim, there's some Kohanim Ka'asonim, who are kind of
irritable, hot-headed,
get agitated and irritated, short-tempered, all of those
is
lovely
like
terms.
Gene, like in their DNA?
It seems to be.
It was a very hard job.
Yeah, no question.
The time of Yaakov Avinu when he, what happened with Sheva Levi and
Right, well, the Levi was a Kohanim and Levium, and we find that the Kohanim's reason came. The Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash had to go and run and do the void in tremendous
they
alacrity.
Only on once every 24 weeks or something, like they had a very.
Well, but those couple of weeks they were really very, uptight.
Uh huh. That was like a year's worth.
Showtime.
Okay, so what they tried to do, therefore, is delay the giving of the get. Normally, if Chas V'Shalom, a person wants to give a get, and he goes to a Sofer, the Sofer can put it together relatively quickly. However, if you tell him, it's not enough just to go and write out the get. You have to leave out a line space, and then you have to go and stitch it up, and another line, and then stitch it up again. And it's a much lengthier...
Isn't the Sofer going to get angry?
No, because the Sofer is going to get paid.
He's paid by the hour.
Uh-huh.
The regular shtar costs them $100, and this fancy shtar is going to cost $500, or whatever. And what we're hoping as a result is that during that period of time...
Second thoughts.
He will have second thoughts, and he'll cool off. Now, that's issue number one vis-a-vis Kahana. Issue number two is, what happens if you have a hot-headed, furious, very, very difficult Yisrael?
Oh.
Yisrael. Well, the females are fine. And therefore, what happens if he gets Bekas? Why don't you make a Shtar Makusha for him as well? The answer is, as Barry said before, because worse comes to worse comes to worse. If he gives the get, and afterwards he changes his mind a day later, a week later, he can always be Machzer Krushasa. He can always take her back. However, a kohen is not allowed to take back his own wife because she's now a grusha. V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu. That's an issur for the kohen. So therefore, we wanted to make sure that the kohen had a chance to kind of cool off, give him a cool-off period. And that's why we told him, you want to write out again? Sure. But your get me'kusha is going to take you a few hours, maybe a day or two. You know, come back tomorrow, we'll see. By the time he comes back tomorrow, you know, how much is it cost? Not 100, 250? Yeah, is it? Slides on the let's think about it some more. And so therefore he wouldn't give the get that quickly, and then he wouldn't have the problem of having to go and marry his own grusha, etc., etc. So therefore this is a special takana that was made for the Kohanim. Not that Yisraelim couldn't also use a get makusha, but the reason why they were masakin it was for the Kohanim. And the Gemara Amud Beis will tell us in Mi'at Hashem, once they made that takana of the get makusha for Kohanim, they didn't distinguish between a get isha and a regular shtar choiv. For all kohanim, they used to go and write in those mekoymis where they had the get mekusha. They would even do a regular get chov or a get halva, a get machira, a get matana. If you were dealing with a kohen, you do it always mekusha. Okay, and that's what the Rishbam was referring to a moment ago. Kiddush hachloik ben getin lishtaris. We'll see Mechem and the Amud Beis a little bit more about that. So in the meantime, the Mishnah tells us further. Get poshet eidav mitoichai. Eidav mitoichai, although the word mitoichai sounds like in the middle, it's really, says Rishbam, besoif hashtar, like our shtaris. In other words, a normal shtar, if you've ever seen a shtar in Hebrew, you'll see at the end of the shtar, hakla shur v'kayim, just like you have a ksuba under the chuppah, you see a shtar tenoim, then it says at the end, ne'um, mister ne'um, the ram, and that's your eidam signed at the end. So that's eidav mitoichai. In the body of the shtar, meaning at the very end on the bottom of the page. Mekusher, however, Eidov me'achoyrov, the Eidim would sign from the back. What means from the back? On those folds. We just said now get Mekusher, they had three folds. At a minimum,
so
on the back, you wouldn't see it if you were looking at the front. But if you turned it around, I see the signatures now. But in Mishnah, we're going to have more discussion about that on the Amud Beis. So don't be too nervous, Mishnah, we'll get to it. Okay, so that is so that's the rule. So there are therefore two major differences between a get poshet and a get makusher. Number one, that the get poshet you sign it on the bottom, get Mekusher is on the back. Number two, that you have the fault. We're going to see in another moment there'll be a third nafkimina, and that is a get Poshet has to have two Edom, a Pishnaim Edom Yokum Dover. A get Mekusher, they said they have to have at least a minimum of three Edom. Again, to add complications, to add rules and regulations, restrictions, limitations, so that the Kohen starts thinking, what did I get myself into? And hopefully he'll cool off and he'll go and say, Sprinzer, you know, I went to the Sofer, there's so many problems and headaches over here. It's a loin tzolish, it doesn't pay the whole thing. Let's try to go and make peace with one another. Good, so far so good. Anyway, so our Mishnah elaborates a little bit on these rules, and we're going to see more in the Gemara. Zok the Mishnah Vayit, the second line. Poshet shekotzvei edav me'achorei. What happens if you made a switch, and instead of writing by a get poshet, a poshet get means a simple, normal, regular get, instead of writing the edam on the bottom, you did it from the back. Or mekusha shekotzvei edav mitoichai, a get mekusha that you wrote it on the bottom of the shtar, shneihem psulim, both of them are possible, because you've changed the rules of each get, even though this has Edom, this has Edom. Shkoyach, you have to do it according to the rules and regulations. It is Ma'akev, yes, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel respectfully disagrees, and he says, Mekusha shekosvei Edom mitoichai, instead of putting it on the back, signing on those folds. If you signed it on the bottom of the get, it's also kosher. Nishiyochel la soy soy poshet, because you could convert a get Mekusha into a get poshet. What does he mean by that? We'll see the Rishbam in a moment. The whole difference is because of those stitches. So take a razor and open up the stitches. And so therefore, all of a sudden, you've taken a get mekusha and you made it into a get poshet, and you have the signatures on the bottom.
Those extra lines you can...
So now what Bill is bringing to our attention is a discussion that you have among the Rishonim. Why don't we have a concern that now that you have those empty lines, that somebody might slip in between those lines.
Provided you give me $1 million.
Or two. And therefore, maybe that'll be a greater problem. So because of that, other Mefarshim disagree with Rishbam in terms of the details. But that's the approach for Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel. Since you could convert a Mekusher into a regular Poshet, therefore if you have the Chasimus at the end, it's okay. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Oymer Hakol Kibbutz Medin, everything is like the Mini Gamadina. What does that mean? Says Rishbam, Im Yetz Hashem B'Gemor Mefarish, exactly what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is getting at. Finally, get poshet edav bishnayim umekusha bishloisha. As we said before, a regular get has two. A bishnayim made them yakum dover, like kolater dekuli, you need two edim. When it comes to mekusha, then you have to have three. That was part of the takanois. However, it's a minimum of three, which means that for every fold, you have to have an aid on the back signed on it. And therefore, what happens if you made four folds or five folds, then you have to have four Edom or five Edom. As we'll see, Mitchem, if you have a fold which is missing an aid, even if you already have three Edom, five Edom, ten Edom, one fold is missing an aid, it's not kosher. So the Shloisha means a minimum. Now, we learned in Masechta's Gittin that every get has 12 lines. In fact, that's the gematria, the word get, Gimel Tes, is 12 lines. First Toysis talks about in the beginning of Masechta's Gittin. However, as we said before, I don't know if we finished the thought, it's only the Toreif that has the Toreif, meaning the major essential terms of this particular get, that has to have the fold. Once you get to the Toface, Toface is the standard language that you have in all documents, they call that the boilerplate, that you don't do any folds anymore. And the Rishbam and the Gemara refers to that as being the Poshut Shebe Mekusher. That within the Mekusher Shtar, you have the lines of Poshut, which is the lines of the Tofes. And there you don't do the folds. So therefore, at the very top, if you have the essential lines and you have only three, which is the minimum you'd have to have for a Get Mekusher, three folds, three signatures. If you had four or five, the person could have a long name, not just a one name, Avrom ben Yitzchak, or Yitzchak ben Avrom. His name is Avrom ben Moshe Yoina, ben Yitzchak, ben Yomin, whatever. And therefore you have Alange Lange Drusha, so it might take another line, and her name might also be Sprintz or whatever, etc. I was once, years ago, there's a shoe store in Buru Park called Hammer Shoe Store. Mr. Hammer, he passed away many years ago, but he was a very jolly individual. Lovely guy. So whenever I would go there, he would go, good morning, Mr. Machman. And one day I come in and I see this Mr. Hammer seems to be so down, and so depressed and so distressed. I said, Mr. Hammer, what happened? I can't even talk about it. I said, but you tell me what's the problem. You're always so happy. He says, I'm invited to a chasana tonight. I said, that's not a reason to be upset. It's a reason to be, yeah, but you should see the chasana invitation. Okay, so I looked at the invitation. It looked like a regular invitation. Did you notice the name of the kala? No. Well, look at the name of the kala. Kala's name was Alta Toba Yenta, which means Alta, she's an old girl already. Toba, she's slightly deaf. And Yenta, she talks too much. She says, can you imagine 18 or 20 years ago when this little girl was born, the parents had so much seichel to go and call this little baby of 3 days old. She's an Alta, a Toba, and a Yenta. That's the reason why he was distressed. How people can have so little seichel to go and give a name like that. So why am I mentioning that? Because Alta Yenta takes a whole line of its own. You know, it's not just one word, Ruchel or Leia.
Alta Tobi Yenta Bas Shmerel Shendri.
Exactly, whatever. And therefore, you have to have maybe fourfold or fivefold. Tova means slightly deaf. Tova is also referring to a foigel. It can also be a dove.
Toiv
in Yiddish. It's a test. Test vav yud beis aleph or ayin.
Is that also taub or?
There is a, and the taub is a family name. That's not a first name.
Right.
But the taub also and toib also is a dove. Tova is also called a toib. But when you're using it as a part of a name, Tova could be a dove. Anyway, it is what it is. So getting back to our Gemara, so if you have four essential lines, you need four lines, four folds, and four signatures. But the minimum is three. So Zok, the Mishnah Vayta, get Poshet Eid of B'Shnaim, only two, Mekushet B'Shloishah, Poshet Shekosav Boi Eid Echad, if instead of making two, you only had one, or Mekushet Shekosav Boi Shnei Eidim, and a Mekushet you only put in two instead of three, Shnei Psulamet, Posel. Of course, this is a Dovah Parshat. We already said in the Mishnah, this requires two and three. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat? And if you only did one, you only did two, it's basel. What's the Chiddush? And Rishbam already says, L'choy Repshita, it's a Dovah Parshat. Mitchum will see it more in the Gemara. Let's take a quick look at the Rishbam, who goes through all the Inyanim of the Get Mekusher, starting on the fourth line. Eidem mitoichai, b'soif ashtar in the bottom, k'moshu anu nyagim, lachtoim b'soichai, like our minig that we sign at the bottom. Mekusher eidem me'achoyrov, Koisev Shita, you first write one line. Umaniya Cholak, and then you leave a blank line. Kishir Shita Haksuva, the same shear as the line above it. The Koifla Ala Cholak, and now you take the written line and you fold it over the blank line. The Toifer, and you stitch it up. Viacha Koisev Shita, and then you write a second line. Umaniya Shita Cholak, and again you leave another one blank. The Koifla, and again you bend it over. Al ha-cholok, on the blank. V'toifet, again, you stitch it up. V'chein harbein, you do that as many times as you need. At least three. K'dei mokem toirev, hashtar, for the essence of the shtar. V'idim chasumim bibachutz, k'inyin shepirsha meiroi b'gemar, like we'll see in the Gemara, it's not going to be so simple, exactly how they sign, but Mirchem will get to it shortly. U'bavad shlo yu kishorav merubin me'edav. Make sure, if you have five folds, ten folds, then you have to have the same number of Edom. You cannot have five folds and only three or four Edom. Kitna Masech is getting the Habalei Kereach. That type of shtar is called the shtar Kereach. Kereach means it's bald because you have a fold without a name. The Toivishal shtar, that's the boilerplate, cause of Kuloi and Poshet. That you can write like a normal Poshet shtar. V'zeu HaNikol Faneinu, and that's what the Gemara is going to call HaPoshet Shem Mekusha. So the top part is with a fold, and the bottom of it is like a regular, normal shtar. Ve'elu ha'kfeilois, each one of these folds, called kefil, the kefil b'fnei atzmoi, each one is its own fold and stitched up on its own. V'nir b'machutz ben kefil ha'kefil, and you can see it from the outside, you can see, these folds, ken keses ha'soifer. Keses ha'soifer means an inkstand. Exactly what that means in terms of the folds, how that works, I'm not sure. He has kozeh, and you see there's a picture here on the right-hand side, where you can go and see what appears to be folds in and out and in and out. So maybe that was like in the form of a stand. Chavesish, whatever. V'chei mocha b'gemarisha, idam achsum al kol kesher v'kesher, nikroim v'nirim b'bachutz. The edom that were signed, you could see it from the outside. Now, if you didn't do it, however, properly, instead of doing three, you only had two. Shnei Yimsulim. Shalinasu Kitin Chachom. Even they have two Edom signed on it. It's worthless. It's a meaningless shtar without at least three signatures. Vim get isha, if you're talking about a get, ain't a miscarriage. It doesn't work. She is not divorced. Rav Chanina ben Gamliel always said she yochel lifshoit v'lasoy sepashit. You can open up the fold. She yikra ha-tfirois, just cut them open. V'yiftach ha-shtar v'yipashit. It's not a poshit ha-shtar. Rav Shim Gamliel said, Hakok mini gamadina, yimor mefarish, v'taym di makusha. Why did they make a makusha? We already discussed it. We'll see in the Gemara Mitzshem. Get poshit eid of shnayim, misha roi t'lasi shtar poshit, yitorech lahachtem boy el shnayim. Minimum two. For roi t'lasi makusha, yitorech lahachtem boy a minimum of three. Shekach tok nechacham, again to add to the difficulties. Poshit shkosu boy eid echa, b'yimor ha-parach pshit. Now, although we have a lengthy discussion about the get makusha, we're going to see in the Amid Beis, that this apparently did not last long. Because even Rebbe himself, Rebbe who's Masada, all the Mishnayos, he had his doubts exactly where the words were, where the Edom were signed, and he was, I don't see these words here. Oh, you have to open up the fold. Rebbe, you didn't know that? Rebbe's the one that wrote this Mishnah. So, it's clear from the Gemara that this was not a long, long takan in terms of its longevity, its duration. It only lasted for probably a couple of generations. Because even in the Tor Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, there are no Hilchos Get Mekusher, because we are not familiar and it's gone out of practice, so it's no longer the custom to make a Get Mekusher, even for a fiery, red-headed Koyin. We don't make a Get Mekusher anymore. And we see it even from the Gemara that people no longer we're not sure what the rules and regulations were. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Mino Animili, what's the Mekor? We already said in the Rishbam that this was a Takonas Chachomim. We discussed because of the Kehanim. However, the Gemara initially believes that this is based in the Torah itself. It's Omer Rav Chanina, the Yomakor, it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Yermia. This Pasuk is Yermia HaNovi is now saying, B'Shem, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael, if you're not going to mend your ways, we're all soon going to go into Golus. And that Golus is going to last a couple of years, Chevra. In fact, it lasted 70 years. And what's going to happen after 70 years, you're all going to come back once again with Ezra and Nehemiah, and everybody's going to say, I think that's my house, and I think that's my property, and that belonged to my Zayd, and that belonged to my father. So if you want to go and prove your case, what belongs to whom? So these bekes of Yinkna, go and make now kinyonim, v'chosoy basef v'chosoyim, and write it down, an official bill of transfer, an official registry, v'chasoyim and sign it, v'hayid edim, make sure the edim are signed on it, and to that, the Miyat Hashem put these shtoris away, and in fact, there's another pasuk that says, put it into a kli cheris l'man yamdu yomim rabim, put it in a good safe deposit box, so to speak, because 70 years from now, you're going to need those shtoris to show that you were the original owners of the property.
Was there a central registry?
I don't think so, but I think Brother Shai is telling us the origins of that. In other words, he wrote it down on a shtar, and you put it away in a very secure place, and then hopefully your children in Einiklich will keep it very carefully, and then 70 years later you'll open it up and you say, oh, you see, I own this piece of property on Western Avenue. No, exactly how it works. It sounds like it was sort of because of Yiknu, they were koinu with kesef, and then they only made the sefer as a rye. But it could be that they did both. In other words, he said, make sure to go and affirmatively show that this property is yours, redo the kinyan, write it down, sign it, put edom on it, do all different types of acrobatics to really establish your title to the property. So, now, the words of this pasuk are slightly wordy, and therefore the Gemara learns each word. We start again, sodois bekesef, you know that's the last line, v'chosoy basefer. The next word is v'chosoy. Let's stop over here, v'chosoy basefer, says the Gemara, this is referring to a pashut. A regular sefer, says the Tav Rishbam, because a sefer is pashut. You ever see a sefer Torah that has folds on the lines? Of course not. So, sefer means pashut. But then the pasuk continues on, v'chosoyim. Chosoyim means ze mekusher. How does that mean mekusher? Says the Rishbam, mashma tzoror, tzoror v'chosim u'mekusher. Similar to the English expression, it's signed and sealed. Yeah, signed and sealed, of course, has a slightly different meaning because they have these seals that some of them are embossed.
Wax.
Yeah, that's not so common nowadays, but years ago they used to have these fancy seals which are embossed, or you have, sometimes you have your notary, he has a stamp where he stamps it. Good, but here the Gemara is learning the word chasoim means that it's all tied up, it's mekusha, that it's stitched together. So that mekusha. And then it says, v'ha'id edim. That seems to be somewhat repetitive. Is v'ha'id mean shnayim edim? Why does it mean shnayim edim? Because the Gemara says, in Masechta Soita and other places, that any time it says in the Torah the word eid, it always means two people. And that's why it says, unless the Pasuk expressly says eid echad, like it says, l'yokim eid echad be'ishtachol ovin l'chol chatas. Why do you have to say l'yokim eid echad? Let it just say l'yokim eid l'chol ovin l'chol chatas, because eid normally means two. Achiyif l'chol kosev echad, that it means only one. Ah, sevoha eid means two. Fine, I have 32. And then it says, Eidim, Oid, Eidim, Eidim, Ishloisha. So therefore, we've established, based on this pasuk, there's something known as Sefer, a get poshet. There's a chasoim, there's a get mekusher. One of them requires two Eidim. One requires three Eidim. Okay, said, Shnaim le poshet, Shloisha le mekusher. Freitim of Eipach, Ano. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe a regular shah should have three. Maybe a star mekusher should only have two. Since the whole inyan of a get mekusher is you add additional folds, so you add more folds, you add more edim. It's logical that that's what the Torah is referring to when it says two and three. Since ksharim are more ksharim than the other get poshet, a poshet doesn't have any ksharim at all, so that will be the two. Here you have the ksharim, you do the three. Rafam Omer Mihacha, Rafam has another pasuk, also in Sefer Yirmiyah, where Yirmiyah himself says, "Ve'ekach es Sefer Hamikna es Hachosoim Hamitzvah v'Hachukim v'Es Hagoli." So I took the Sefer Mikna, and in fact, I put it away in a Kli Cheres L'man Yamdu Yomim Rabim. So he is saying about himself, says Yirmiyah, that that's what I did. In other words, and you can follow what I'm doing. So now the Gemara is dashing in the pasuk, "Ve'ekach es Sefer Hamikna." In other words, Sefer Zeh Poshet, like we said before. A regular sefer doesn't have any folds in it. And then the pasuk continues on, Esach Chosim, Chosim Zeh Mekusher, that it's signed and sealed. V'es HaGolui, that's the Lashon HaPasuk, right? V'ekach Sefer HaMikna, Esach Chosim, HaMitzvah, Chukim V'es HaGolui, what means Goli? Zeh Poshet Shem Mekusher. Goli, of course, means that which is revealed and disclosed. He means revealed in the sense that there is no cover-up, that there are no folds on that part of the shtar. So that's the poshet, that's the toifis part of the mekusher shtar, where the top part has at least three or four or five folds, and the bottom is just poshet, like a normal shtar. That's called the goli, the poshet shem mekusher. Yes?
Was Yirmiyahu a Kohen?
No,
yes, I think so.
But even if he was, but he wasn't talking, no, he, David tells us probably not.
Talking about property stars.
Yecheskel was a Kohen. Yecheskel ben Buzi a Kohen. Yirmiyahu Baisel, I didn't know him personally, so it's hard to say.
Mina Kohenima, Shirbe Anatot, isn't he from Anatot?
He could be from Anatot, he could be, Chweshish. Mitchum, when we go in our Tanakh class, we'll go through these in Yonah. But anyway, it's not necessarily that he's doing it for himself. He's telling for Klal Yisrael. This is what you got to do. Oh, that's what I was going to say shortly. We're not up to it yet. In the meantime, the Gemara is assuming that this pasuk is telling us that there are two pieces of Torah legislation, two different types of shtaros. You want to make a poshet, gizuntait, two edim. You want to make a mekusha, gizuntait, three. Continuing on, then it says in the pasuk, hamitzvah chukim, elu dvarim shein poshet l'mekusha. These are the differences between our shtar poshet and mekusha. That's what he means, mitzvah and chukim, in other words, the rules and regulations. Okay, so Zayd of Shnaim, Zayd of Shloish, Zayd of Mitoichab, Zayd of Machoirab. Like we said before, this has folds and this is plain. Again, maybe I should go and say two is for the get mekusher and three is for the get poshet. And the Gemara gives the same tarot as well. Mitoichab, Sarabik, Shorim, Nisrabik, Eight of Sins. The get mekusha requires more folds, so it makes sense that there's more rules, throw in one more aid by the get mekusha as opposed to the get poshet, which is a poshet isach. It's simple, it doesn't require all of these headaches, rules and regulations.
Sorry to Google, he was born into a priestly family.
Oh, yeah. See that?
You believe Google.
It says,
You got my blessing. I have a third pasuk. This is a pasuk in the Torah itself. You don't have to go to Yirmiyah.
Right.
You can go and prove a case based on two or three. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question. If two is enough, why does the pasuk have to say three? And this guy ain't doze b'shnayim, I'm part of the chag b'shloish. Loi malach has come to tell you. Shnayim is le poshet. Shloisha is le mekosher. That's why it says Shnayim or Shlosh.
Because we know Ed is two.
And it says the word Edim. So it's describing Edim, two or three Edim. But we'll see Mitchum in a moment. These are not full-fledged drushes. It's really more an asmachta. We'll see in a moment. So tomorrow, I'm part of the Choshlash. I'm the Choshnayim, the Poshit, Shlosh, and the Mekosh. We're in Pachano, Faket. This is Rabbi Ksharam, this Rabbi be Edim. You're telling me these three psukim, each mandiyamar, according to the way he learned pshat, comes to tell you the hilchois get mekusher. Each one of them has another purpose. What are the other purposes? The kedusanya. So does v'kesev yeknu v'chosay b'sefer v'chosay. Eitz a toy v'kamash molon. Exactly, in particular, the beginning of Cheskes Sabbatim. What's the eitz a toy v'kamash molon that's coming to tell you that hold on to your shtaris in case somebody challenges your ownership of a property? Of course, Cheskes Sabbatim continues to say that you don't have to hold on to it for more than 3 years. As long as after 3 years you have 3 years of chazakah and aid them throughout the 3 years, then you can put your shtar away. You don't have to worry about the shtar anymore because of your chazakah. But this eitz toiv kamashlan is more than that, because Yirmiyahu Novi is telling Klal Yisrael, we're soon going to be expelled from this land for 70 years. How are you going to prove your ownership years from now? Write it down, seal it, put it away. And Rishbam quotes the pasuk that we quoted already before, Unisatim Bechli Cheres Man Yam Du Yomim Rabim. Put it into an earthenware kli, seal it up, put it away, hide it in a good place, etc. That's Eitz HaToyv Kamash. So nothing to do with Hilchai get Mekusher and get Pasha. It's only Eitz HaToyv. Vekach HaSefer HaMikna. That's Yirmiyah talking about himself, that he also did that. So Timura, that's not telling you halacha. Oh, he have a maisa. He's telling you, yeah, kasha v'masa. That's what happened. He bought it to me. He wrote a shtar. He put it away. And finally, the third one, Habishnai made him. Habishloisha edim lahakish loisha lishnaim. Beplukta Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan. Here the Gemara doesn't tell us what that machloikis is. It's a machloikis at the beginning of Masechtas Malkis, about Daftal and Dafei. What's the machloikis? The Mishnah Gemara over there asks the same question. As it says two Edom, why does it have to say three Edom? And therefore they make a hekesh one to the other. Machloikis the Tanakam. Tanakam says that you learn from that the Gabi Hilchois Hazoma, Azvos. What happens if three Edom come? And they say about the first pair of Edom, two Edom, that how could you go and testify that you saw this halva'ah, or this ritzicha, or this sale. In Manoah Yisrael, you were together with it in Chicago. So just like three can defeat two, say the Tanakhama, the reason why the Pasuk says of Yishnayim, Menesh, Ashloish, Edom, that it works the other way around as well. That even if you only have two Edom that say, In Manoah Yisrael, you were together with us in Chicago. Also, the two are stronger than the three. And that's what you learn from Vishnayim, Mishloish, Edom, according to the Tanakhama. What do you learn according to Rabbi Kiva? Kiva comes to tell you that even if only one out of the three Edom is Muzam. Muzam means Immanuel Yisem. So, Kedai Techamina, Rabbi say, how many Edom do you need? You only need two. The third Ed was really surplus, superfluous. We don't need it. What happens if Edom come and say, Aid number three, you were Immanuel Yisem somewhere else? Or, even without the Immanuel Yisem, what happens if they say that third Ed, when you're just through in gratis, happens to be a Russia? He's a Goslin, he's a Ritzea. Exactly. So even though you don't need that third Ed, he's just thrown in for a present.
It's a band-aid.
He's a third wheel.
If it turns out that he's not just a third wheel, but he's a fifth wheel or whatever, that he's a bad guy, he's a Ritzeach, a Goslin, a Ganif, and all those other wonderful things that you find in Rishayim, that disqualifies the entire Eidos. And that's what the Chiddush of the Pasuk is. Pishnayim Mishloish Eidos. Okay, so therefore it's not coming to tell us anything about Get Mekusher. So where do I know Get Mekusher from? Do you have another Pasuk? No. El Mekusher Midrabbanan. Ukroi Yasmachta Bi Alma. There's no such thing as a Get Mekusher Min HaTorah. It didn't exist. However, this is a Takana the Rabbanan instituted, and the Psukim are just an Asmachta to be able to go and hang your hat on. Can you find a Pshashtikul Remes, a Pshashtikul Drush? Yeah, I have these three Psukim, but it's only to come with Rabban. So for Eid Yimara, V'tayim Amay Takin Rabbanan Mikusha, why did they institute this? Asa Tekahaniyav, we're talking about places where there were Kahanim. V'avi Kabdi Tuva, and unfortunately they were Groisa Kabdonim. They were kind of difficult characters.
Short-tempered.
heated, agitated, irritated, and you couldn't easily appease them. And they said, Sprinzer, I can't take it anymore. You know, we've been living together now for a day or for a week. I'm going crazy. And he runs to the scribe to go and write out the get. See if it would be a posher to get, which you can write out in a few minutes or an hour or whatever, then it'd soon all be over. So we want him to go and slow down, Koyin. Because remember, it's irreversible by a Koyin. He cannot take back his wife if he gives her a get. Therefore, Vavdir Abanan Takanto. The scribe, the soif is going to have to take a long time with the stitching, with the tailor, with the seamstress. It's going to take a much longer period of time. You have to find three Edom, not just two Edom. And therefore, that's why they were hoping during that period of time that level heads will begin to prevail and he'll cool down from his temper and the Hamas and Melech Shechacha. With that, they won't have the get. They won't get after all. So tomorrow they're not getting. That makes sense for a get. But shtaris, my ikon memo, why by shtaris did they have these folds as well? So you work initially tachalik or to tachalik, then getting lishtaris. Not to make any difference between one and the other. This is what Rishbam quoted on the Amud Aleph. But the question is, what means initially tachalik? It's a very simple reason. By getting, they're all short tempered and hot headed and all that. I understand. Pishtoris, this time doesn't apply. So what's the Kadesh like Tachli? So the Toises gives two reasons over here. If you look at the second Toises. The Toises. Shem Tifsalna Bishtorois. What happens if you're going to say, nah, this is only a special Takana by get? By Shtar, nah, forget about it. You can't make these kefiltis. It looks like a cover-up. Literally. Uh-huh. You're covering up the essential terms. It's possible. Then a Dayan who's not the most educated, he might say, I remember yesterday the chief rabbi said that when you have a shtar like this with all of the kefils, and listen, I'm a big Talmud Chacham, I know that a get and a shtar, those are synonymous terms. So if the shtar, which is a shtar makusha with all of these cover-ups and all these kefalim, doesn't work, then probably a get doesn't work. So therefore, that's number one, shloi tachlit. Inami, ili av the shtari choy makusher, so Rishbam is already telling us, this is already kind of a premonition, that the Chacham already knew at that time, this is a difficult task, this get Mekusher, and they're going and sewing it up and all the rest, it may quickly fall into disuse. And therefore, what we want to do is educate and train all the Sofrim to be able to write such a get Mekusher. So we tell them, don't only write it for a Gedisha, write it for Shar Shtoris as well. So they'll be used to it. They do this on a regular basis, or at least on an irregular basis, but at least they will have some shimush in writing such a get Mekusher. And that's why they said, let's do it by Shar Shtoris as well, to give them all regilus, that they should know what they're doing. And as we said already before, but it did fall out of the custom, and we don't find it brought anywhere in the Sifrei Halacha today about writing a get Mekusher, because already in the times of Chazal, it already became passé. But getting back to our Gemara, Heichan Edom Chayserin. So where did the Edom side? So we have Machloikis now. Ravuna Omer Bein Kesher the Kesher, between one fold and the other fold. Rabbi Abraham Omer Achuire Haksav, in the back of the Ksav. Ukineged Haksav Mi Bechut, and corresponding to the Ksav from the outside. Now, what it sounds like from Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba is that you do a parallel signing. In other words, we take our get, we have the first line which tells you the Zman, and the name of the Ish, the Isha, whatever it is. I don't know if that would all fit on the first line. But you go and write whatever you can on the first line, and then you go and fold it over, and you stitch it up, and now you take the get, you put on the back, you see where the fold is, obviously, and that's where you see the ksav on the front of it, and on that very back, you go and sign a chari ksav, a keneg ksav mibuchut. That's what it sounds like. Mitchum, tomorrow we're going to learn that, in fact, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba learns that the chasimois were signed perpendicular to the ksav and not parallel to the ksav.
Well, that would be the right way.
At a right angle, for sure, but not right way. Anyway, why did they did it that way? Mitch, and we'll get into the details tomorrow. But that's the point. From the back, turn it around, and then they would go and sign it. And where would they start the signature from? From the final line at the bottom of the get, or the bottom of the shtar, and the very end you write Hakol Shor V'Kayim. That's where it ends, and that's why you hear by the Ksuba also under the Chuppah, if you ever listening. Hakol Shor V'Kayim, Niyum, Yankov Ben Beryl Aid, Niyum, somebody else Aid, etc. So we have the same story over here. V'Kenegel Eksami B'Chutz, starting from that and going upwards, which we'll see tomorrow. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to focus a little bit on this machlokes being kesher lekesher and achoyer ksav. Amalei Rami bar Chama l'Rav Chisda, and Barry's already thinking to himself, Rav Chama, with the son-in-law of Rav Chisda, and he said to Rav Chisda, Rav Huna diyama. And now Barry's telling us what's the connection between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda.
They were at Broga's. We had that long story earlier in Bavitsi. I think that they spent many years not even talking to each other.
Right. So Rav Huna was the Rebbe of Rav Chisda. One time, Rav Chisda asked Rav Huna, what about a rabbi who needs his Talmud? What would be the din l'gabi giving back an aveda and things of that nature? And so Rav Huna said, oh, you're talking about yourself and you're saying that I need you. I don't need you. Yeah, I'm fine. Find the way I am. So there was a Rav Chisda never meant that. Rav Chisda fasted 40 taneisim, like ansamaisim. But as you said, they were estranged for a long period of time. But at least at the outset, so Rami Bar Chama is asking Rav Chisda, I heard that Rav Huna said the Omar ben Kesher l'Kesher, like we just learned. Because Solka Daitan, we assume, what means ben Kesher l'Kesher? Ben Kesher l'Kesher mi Gavoi. Gavoi means inside on the front of the shtar, between each one of the folds, that's where they would go and sign the signatures. And if that's the case, Bahu Mekusher, the Ka'as l'Kami de Rebbe, there was a Get Mekusher that came in front of Rebbe, V'Omer Rebbe, hey, ain't Zman B'zeh. I don't see where this man is. Where is the man? This man's supposed to be here. Amalei Reb Shimon b'Rebbe l'Rebbe. Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, said to his father, Shema ben Ksharev Muvla. Maybe the reason why you don't see this man is because as they did that fold and the cover-up and the stitching, maybe a couple of words got swallowed up and covered over by the fold. Even though the fold is only supposed to fold over the empty black line. But maybe the seamstress didn't do a good job, and maybe they did it too high or too low. And therefore some words are in fact enclosed and covered over by these folds. Guess what? Falia, they took a razor, they cut it open. Mm-hmm. Because, oh, Baruch Hashem, this man is here. Because a get without his man is a possible get. They unfolded the problem. Exactly. So what do we see, Taka, from this? That even Rabbi, who was the Masada of our Mishnah, and talked about get Boshet and get Mekusher, he also wasn't so sure exactly how this was done, and that's why he couldn't find his man. Freiti Mora, if you're telling me that when you sign the signatures, they're between Ben Kasher and the Kasher, so the Choyer, just like he couldn't find his man, he shouldn't have been able to see the Chasimus Edom either. Wouldn't those also have been covered over by the fault? The Misa ain't Zman Bezeh, they ain't Edom Bezeh Miboyle. The Rebbe should have said, this get is possible, there's no Zman, there's no Edom, what's going on?
It's a cover-up.
Very good. Amalei Misavris Ben Kesher L'Kesher Migavoi. Loi Ben Kesher L'Kesher Miavroi. I didn't mean the Ben Kesher L'Kesher in the body of the shtar, and therefore it might get covered over by the fold. I meant from the outside of the Kesher, on the back of it. Oh, so then that's easy. Since it's on the back, you're never going to go and find that it's going to be covered over, because just turn it around and look on the back of it. You look on the back of the fold. It's not on the fold itself, because on the fold itself, we said, you had the Shita Rishoina, which you bent over, and so you had all that language. So presumably it means that between one stitch and the next stitch, they put the names of the Edom, and if they couldn't find it and they were in a good mood, they put them in stitches, right?
Right.
And they were in stitches. Good.
The stitching time saves nine.
Saves nine. Then Isa, if you're going to tell me that you write it, Bigavoi, Ainbet Zman Bezeme, and Edom Bezeme Boile. Therefore, Amalei, Savin Kesh, Kesh, Megavoi, means from the inside, from the outside. Break them up in Nechish, Dilma, Zayef, Kosav, Maideboi. Vechasim, Isaadi. I have a problem over here. And you're talking about a get poshet. Get poshet, as we said before, the Edom sign at the very end of the document. So wherever the document ends, Hakol Shor V'Kayim, done. And then you have Naum, and you write down, you sign the Edom. But over here, since the second part of the shtar, which is the Tofes, ends Hakol Shor V'Kayim, and there's no Edom over there. So guess what happens? Where are the Edom signed? Only the top part, on the kfeilois, on those
folds.
On the folds. The folds are only the top. We said on the Toref part, but not on the Toface part. So that being the case, for Eitimora, What stops a person at the end of a get, or for that matter, a get chov, a shtar chov, to go and add more conditions at the bottom? Barry suggested before, and don't forget to pay me $1 million, etc. Put that at the end. So normally you couldn't do that because right after the end of the shtar are the eidim. There's no room to go and insert any more information. But over here it's a blank check at the bottom of the shtar because nobody signed there. They signed on the back. If somebody's going to counterfeit the shtar, the kosher might be going to write whatever he wants. The chasimi saadi and the back is going to be the chasimi saedim. So the problem is you won't know what the edim knew, what they didn't know. Edim don't really have to know the substance of the shtar anyway.
You just write 246 word letters or something, so you know. That's only what went before.
Okay, very good. Mighty boy chasimi and for the more the chasimi shor v'kaim. You write always at the end of the little thing, sure, but kind of like you make a big exclamation point. This is the end. That's it. Nothing more. So you can't go and add anything to it. Frankly, more that doesn't help you. But neichesh dum mekosa mayde boy, v'hoda kosa shore v'kayim, achrina. Maybe you write shore v'kayim twice. Haka shore v'kayim means that this is, you know, in English they would say, oh, good, or you can go and say it's now in full force and effect. Whatever. Anyway, it's the kosher of a kaim, full force and effect, and you're done. So now, that being the case, says Imara, you can write it twice. First, it's written one time, and then throw in, and by the way, and don't forget to give me $1 million, and then you sign again, and then you write again. Chad, I'm sorry. And then, v'nei cheshdum, akosim, mighty boy, v'odekziv, shor v'kaim, achrena. You write two shor v'kaims. One shor v'kaim at the end of the 12th line, another shor v'kaim at the end of the 13th or 14th line. You write it again. So the Gemara, that doesn't work. Chad shor v'kaim kasvina, chad trei shor v'kaim kasvina. You don't have two ends into a shtar. It's only one ending. So by the fact that you wrote a second time, everybody sees immediately, this is baloney, this is counterfeit. Frank Gemara, v'leichesh du mamachik lei l'shor v'kaim. He'll take the original shor v'kaim. He'll take a nice eraser and he'll do a mechika. He will take it out. V'kosa mai deboy. And then he's going to write on top of the mechika other words that he wants to and add another line or two of text. V'hoda kosa shor v'kaim. He's going to write shor v'kaim all the way at the end. Shkoyach for the plastic.
Thank you so much.
So much warmer now. Thank you very much. This is Givaldik. Anyway, so Zok the Gemara, Aybazoi, so what have you accomplished? You're going to erase the first Shervakayim, write into it other words, and then, again, $1 million or whatever it is, and then he's going to write Shervakayim a line or two later. Says Gemara, that's not going to work. Because Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Tluya Mikuyemes Ksheira, Mochak is possible the Alpha Bisha Mikuyem. What's meant is this Mikuyem? What's this Tluya Mikuyemes? Remember, the Sofrim didn't have the benefit of good, but in particular, they didn't have the benefit of our computer programs today, where if you want to take out a word or add a word, you just push the delete button and you just type some new words in, and automatically words go into the next line and things of that nature. What happens if the Sofer had written out 10, 12, 15 lines, and then he reads it and he says, uh-oh, I left out two words in the middle of line number 5, line number 8. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't go and erase the whole thing. The whole thing looks like a forgery. And if I start from the beginning, you know, I put in a few hours working all of this. Well, what am I going to do? So they would do is they would write it in between the lines. Just, you know, the famous story?
Yeah.
The people in the park, you know.
I don't know.
You don't know the story? There were zwei Yidden von der Heim, and they didn't know English. They only knew Yiddish. And one is sitting here on a park bench in Riverside Park, and he's reading the New York Times, and he's studying it. And then his friend Yankel goes by and says, he can't today you can't read the Times. I'm talking about when it was still a kosher paper. But anyway, when it was not anti-Israel and anti-Semitic.
A sign of the times.
Good. Anyway, he says, Yankel, do you line the New York Times? He can't speak English. You don't even know English. What are you reading the paper for? You don't know it. Ich line zwischen the Shiras. I read between the lines. If you know that he can... So here too, you have the Sofer. He writes in between the lines. Tluya. Tluya means any word that he forgot, he puts on the top and he makes one of these upside down carrots, right? And then you know that you're supposed to insert it. But of course, then people say, hey, maybe this thing is a forgery. So what you do is, at the end of the shtar, before Hakosher V'Kayim, the Sofer would write, and the extra words which are tolui, which are hanging, suspended in mid-air, between line 4 and line 5, I put them there, either Sofer, because unfortunately I left them out. And then he writes Hakosher V'Kayim. So therefore he's Mekayim his Tluya.
His amendation.
Yes, if you look at the Rishbam, the last Rishbam, Umeshani. Hom Reb Yoichan and Tluya Mekayim is Ksheir. Toha Soifa. The Soifa made a mistake. V'igia, and he made Hagah. How did he make the Hagah? V'tola teva oishtayim bein shita l'shita. He wrote in between the lines. He had these words suspended between line one and line two. V'yachkein kaima b'soifa shtar. And then at the end, you have to go and repeat it at the end and explain. K'moisha anu koisen, like we do. That teva ploinis to bein echiti. Bear in mind that there are these one or two words in between lines four and five. Shor v'kayim. So then everybody knows that this was an innocent mistake.
Endorsed as not being a fraud.
Oh, very good. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan. But that's only by teluya, if you see these hanging suspended words. But mochak, if however there's a machika that somebody erased something, that's pachlav pishim akoyimim, if it says at the end, by the way, that machika that we had earlier, you should know that machika was a mistake on my part, and I rewrote it, and it's makoyim, that doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because I'm afraid that Itaka said, shor v'kayam, some unscrupulous individual came, took an eraser, took out the Akoshor of a kaim. He wrote in it, and yes, Yankel has to give Beryl an extra $1 million. And then he put the Akoshor of a kaim. Ago. Before that, he said, and the erasure of 2 lines ago, that's because I made a mistake, and I'm sorry, and I'm the kaim it, the Akoshor of a kaim. That really smells very suspicious. Even if he writes, like we just said in the Rishbam, at the end, that I made a mistake. Now, however, the Sant Rishbam says, it's got to be towards the end of the shtar where you would normally expect the Hakoshar of the Kaim to appear. If it's a 12-line shtar, and on the third line there was a machika, then you could be Mekayim that at the end, because you see, the Sofer made a mistake, and therefore he did a race, and no. If it's at the end of the shtar where you can tell we've gone through all the basics and all the rules and regulations and the limitations and the conditions and blah, 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 blah. And now he says, a kosher v'kayim. And pinked over there at the end of the shtar, somebody erased it and said, and add another $1 million. And the erasure of one line earlier, that's because we made a mistake. And then you write again on kosher v'kayim. It doesn't pass the smell test. And then it's possible. But the emtsaksav says, Rishbam, you don't have to worry about it because it's nicker. Look at the top Rishbam. Mochak possible. Af maishi gia olav. What means it's possible? Even what was written on top of that machak, Rishash takes out the word af. Masha higia olav, what he was magia on that machak. Avu shimakoyim. Even if he's makayim it by certifying himself and saying, yeah, I made a mistake, and he adds it at the end. Kunim afarish viyazul. Sha'oisa machak besoif hashtar. He's talking about that it was towards the end of the shtar. The mokisha yochel loimar. That it would make sense that you'd write Hakol Shor V'Kayim because the shtar came to an end. Shirikosu by Shor V'Kayim. Kigoin Bosser. And another raya says, the Rishbam is, if you ever listen carefully at the chuppah, they'll say, B'mona d'koshen m'knaye bay Hakol Shor V'Kayim, ni'um. So those are typically the final words right before Hakol Shor V'Kayim. So if you find those words there, and now umochkoi v'igia mashirotza, and then after the M'mona d'koshen m'knaye bay, they took out the Hakol Shor V'Kayim and he put in whatever he wanted. B'achekach kos of Shor V'Kayim, even though he was Mekayim it by saying, yeah, there was a mistake and I erased it and I put in the other words. Doesn't pass the smell test. B'am Zaksav, it's in the middle of line 3 or 4 and there's still another 20 lines to go. Ein lochish. Shor Dovenikar, Shekoidim, Shenichtav, Shor V'Kayim, B'zashtar, Nimchuk, V'Niskayim. That you can tell that this was not a forgery. Person made an honest mistake, and just like by the Teluya, he can be Mekayim at the end, this he can also be Mekayim at the end. So to just finish on the marvelly, Amru Mechak Apostle, Elva Mokim Shor Vekayim, like we just said, typically at the end of the Shtar, after the B'mosr, B'mosr, B'mona, the Koshel Meknaye, Be, Hakul Shor Vekayim, oh, those words have been erased, Ukashir Shor Vekayim, like the Shir of 2 or 3 words that you would expect, if those words are missing, and then you wrote on top of it in another line, and then you wrote Shor V'Kayim. It's no good. It doesn't work. That's why I don't have to worry about the Eidim, the B'chut. All fine. Have a wonderful day, Zach. Eventually, getting chayt.